This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. You know him from The Daily Show, The Office, The Hangover Trilogy, and his new movie is called Tag. Please welcome Ed Helms.
Hello.
Ed Helms, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thanks so much, Ophira. It's great to be here.
So I met you a bazillion years ago. I had just moved to New York, and you were about to leave New York.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the time that you did stand-up comedy in New York, which is around the time that I moved here, too.
We did many shows together,
yeah.
Ophira.
I was in the early 2000s. You started probably, you were here a little bit before.
Yeah, I was late, mid-late 90s.
And it was also, there was a comedy club, now defunct, which we both performed at many times down in the Village called the Boston Comedy Club.
Right. Ironically, in New York City.
In New York City. Do you have any fond memories of performing at the Boston Comedy Club?
Mostly repressed nightmares, but no, I spent many years performing there, and I hosted the Monday Night New Talent Showcase.
Yes.
That was like my first real gig, and I actually loved it. I remember it was on top of the Bag at N, which was a subterranean bar. And it was so gross. It smelled, the whole club just stank, you know? It had that gross, just alcohol, cigarette-y kind of stench.
Like vomit,
yeah.
And then spray a little Lysol over it or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and also some self-loathing mixed in there.
A lot of self-loathing.
and just littered with bad jokes. I remember having a moment where I was running up those stairs, and it was just as gross a night as ever. But I had this feeling like, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I love this. I love comedy. I love comedians. I love this world. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was, I mean, at that specific time, you had to love it because there wasn't
There wasn't a lot of reinforcement. You weren't getting a lot of pats on the back.
No pats on the back.
And you had to stand out on the sidewalk and scream at people to get an audience into the club.
And most of the people on stage, you had to bring five people just to get on that stage.
Oof.
You basically paid for stage time.
You did, literally. Yeah, you made your friends pay for you to get stage time.
But this ends up leading to an audition for The Daily Show.
Yep.
Which you get. And what we remember of your tenure on The Daily Show is these amazing field pieces. You were the guy, you did how many field pieces? I can't even imagine.
I don't know.
Hundreds.
A lot. Yeah.
Hundreds. And the gimmick, nobody knew the gimmick at the time when you were doing it, which is they didn't know that there was a joke happening to them, and you have to play this role of a incredulous, jerky news correspondent who is making them very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, I was making myself really uncomfortable, too. No, I'll say this. I don't know. I grew up in the South. I'm sort of like in a very sort of appeasing mindset or sort of, I was just culturally raised to make people feel comfortable. So
and
to make
polite,
people,
right?
Yeah, and be polite. And so to make people feel, deliberately make people feel uncomfortable went against every fiber of my body. But I will say, a lot of the time I was squirming worse than the person I was interviewing. No, but Stephen Colbert had the best advice right before I went on my very first field piece. I asked him what, like, if he had any advice. He said, yeah, just hang your soul up in the closet. You can come back for it later.
So I read that when you were starring in the first Hangover movie of the trilogy, which, of course, has this moment where you have lost a tooth. This is sort of the beginning of the Hangover part of trying to figure it out. That this is a real tooth that you actually went to your dentist and asked him to remove the implant.
Yeah.
For this.
Well, yeah, so...
what?
Welcome to my acting clinic. I'm going to talk to you about a little something I call commitment. No. It sounds a lot worse than it was. I was born without a tooth there. And so my whole life I had like a little flipper, you know. And then when I was a teenager, I got an implant put in. So when this was actually in the script for The Hangover that the tooth came out. So we tried a couple of things like blacking it out and it just looked And to digitally remove it would be too expensive. And so I was like, well, it is an implant. Why don't I just ask my dentist? And he was like, yeah, sure. And then and
your dentist thought it was funny.
So he didn't take the implant out. He took the crown off.
Oh, okay.
And then still. Yeah. But then the funny thing is I was shooting The Office concurrently. So he made these flipper things that I could pop in and out. So the tooth came in and out. And so if you watch, there's certain episodes of The Office where I have like a little bit of a lisp or something, like you can't. And I didn't tell the producers of The Office that I took the tooth out because I knew they'd be really mad. But then I got a fresh new tooth afterwards, and the movie paid for it, so there you go.
I feel like, yeah.
Give it up for cosmetic dentistry.
So in addition to acting, you are a musician. You've been playing banjo in a bluegrass band for 22 years now?
Yeah.
22 years?
Yeah, since Oberlin.
So Steve Martin is known, of course, as a fantastic banjo player. Kevin Nealon plays banjo. John C. Reilly plays banjo. What is it with comedians and comedic actors playing banjo?
Well, comedians want desperately to be liked, as we all know. And I think that the banjo is kind of...
Makes that harder?
It's sort of a self-sabotaging mechanism.
Now, the band from 22 years ago that you started in college, are same members or less? Same members, exactly.
It's three of us.
Three of us. So you still make time to tour with the band?
We still get together and play, but we're not like working on stuff. We're usually just doing shots of whiskey and annoying our significant others.
And you're also busy, obviously. You're in a new movie, this new summer movie coming out, Tag, which is about friends playing tag for 30 years.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Just thinking about your band and then thinking about the premise of this movie, Tag, do you think men, to be friends, have to work together on a project?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps.
Yeah.
It helps to have a common interest or something. I don't know about a project. Yeah. It's interesting that you ask those things back to back, because my band that you mentioned, the Lonesome Trio, for me really is my tag. You know, tag in the movie is this way that these middle-aged guys still stay in each other's lives, and they stay friends, and they stay connected through good times and bad times, and it's just a mechanism to be with people that you love and that you care about and that you want to stay connected to.
Right, and you can just kind of say this easy thing like, hey, you want to come over and jam? And it feels like not this big thing.
Right, right.
And then they come over and you can talk about whatever deep or not deep things you have to say.
Oh, we get deep.
I'm sure you get deep. All right, Ed, are you ready to play and ask me another challenge?
I'm so ready.
Okay, fantastic. You star in the movie Tag, so your game is about recreational games.
Okay.
Like Tag, but that have made it big time, like professional leagues, world championships, that kind of thing. And if you do well enough, Jason Grant from Ann Arbor, Michigan, is going to win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube. Okay, here we go. Tag is a professional sport called World Chase Tag, combining tag with elements of parkour. In chase tag terminology, what do they call the area where the game is played? Is it A, the tag court, B, the flea zone, or C, the chasatorium?
I'm going to say it's not the chasatorium.
Too smart.
That's ridiculous. But so is professional tag.
That's
so,
right.
I'm going to have to say A. I don't remember what it was.
The but tag court. You
the
are
tag
correct.
Court. Okay, good. Yeah, that's
yeah,
just...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you know that there's a hide-and-seek world championship?
I did not. Not surprised.
Okay. So the hide-and-seek world championship has been held annually since 2010. Where do you think it is being held? A, at an abandoned Italian village, B, in a Nebraska cornfield, or C, in the showroom section of an IKEA store?
Um, I'm going to go with The Italian Village.
You're right, yes.
Right on.
So it's an Italian, it's an abandoned Italian village called Consono, and it was once known as Italy's Las Vegas, shut down in the 60s after a landslide, and I guess people now play hide and seek there, and if they win the game, no one finds them, they repopulate the city.
Doesn't sound very safe to me.
You're concerned for the safety of hide and seek?
Yeah. Yeah, landslides.
Landslide.
Yeah.
But great, behind boulders.
You're right.
Got to be great places. Yeah. Here's your last question. Which of the following is a real publication associated with the tailgating beanbag toss game Cornhole? It's a real publication. Is it called A, Bag Talk, B, Tossin' Beans, or C, Hole Magazine?
They're all loaded with double, if not triple, entendre potential. But I'm going to go with Tossin' Beans. Just got a good ring to it.
Tossin' Beans, unfortunately, is not associated with cornhole. I don't know what it's associated with. Perhaps camping. I'm not sure. The answer...
Double check that.
Oh, go to double check. The publication, the real publication, is actually Hole Magazine. Hard to believe that was still an available title.
It's also, that is just way too broad of a title. It could apply to so many things.
But this just in, you did amazing. Congratulations, Ed. You and listener Jason Grant both won Asking for Rubik's Cubes. Tag is in theaters on June 15th. Give it up for Ed Helms, everybody.